All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another amazing episode of Higher Power Tech Podcast, the podcast that connects you to the higher hiring power you deserve. I am your co-host, Mark Komar.
And I'm Josh Stone.
And today we're going to discuss how to avoid employees searching for new jobs. Now, look, this is an interesting time because about a year or two ago, even right during COVID and right post-COVID, it was a phase where people were working two jobs, you know, three jobs in one, especially in the tech world, right? So you had employees kind of like, you know, double dipping, right? And now we're at a place where, because so many layoffs going on, you have employee morale, employees wondering, you know, am I next? Let me start looking now for another job, you know, while I'm employed, while I have a position. So employers managing hiring agents are having problems now with employees seeking work while being underneath your umbrella. And that causes so many issues. Obviously, production starts to decrease, right? And then that, you know, obviously ends to production on profits, which we all need, right? So there's a lot of elements or a lot of things we want to avoid by this happening. So what Josh and I want to talk to today is about how can we give you three tips as employers to improve the odds that your employees are happy, they're content, and they're willing to stay on with you and work with you. And Josh,
that one more time. All three things, because it's going to be a huge part of what I say. So they'll say those three things again.
Dag, you go. I don't know what I just said.
Okay, so happy. How to keep your employees happy?
Yes.
And not looking for another job.
Right.
Like, out of all of our podcasts we've done, they're great, right? But what I'm going to tell you today will change everything. Yeah. So you can either choose to listen to me or not listen to me. But I'm going to give you some of the best advice you could possibly get from a podcast today.
I like that. Thank you, Jay. So, we firmly believe it starts from the top and works its way down. Josh is about to, like he said, elaborate on some key points that we believe if you do listen to this and then you implement, knowledge is only power when it's used towards a directive, goal, or means and implement it. So if you use this information that he gives you, you will have success. So go ahead, Jay. Take him to church. So
I'm going to take you from the disgruntled employee perspective. Mark's going to kind of lean more to from the business perspective. So you're going to get the best of both worlds. For me, you're going to get a lot of frustration because I live this day to day. I talk to candidates day to day. I read LinkedIn every day. I look at articles every day. I have friends all over the industry and people that I've connected with over the years. I see it. If you have a good employee, you win. That's the hardest part.
Yeah.
Finding a good employee. Now, what is a good employee? An employee that shows up, an employee that does their work, an employee that gives everything they've got every single day. They don't make excuses. They take accountability. They're open to constructive criticism. They do the things that are necessary for their job to be complete. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean the job at hand is going to get completed every single day at 100%, especially in sales. Okay. Sales is not just a numbers game. Okay, mm-hmm. There's a process, and we talk about this with every part of our what we do. There's a process to things. But salespeople are under the most stress out of anybody in the organization. We understand you have to sell, you have to make money to make payment. We get it. We understand why layoffs happen. That's not what we're talking about here.
Right.
What we're talking about is when you have good employees who have your back and are bought in, you need to take care of them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's you didn't make 300 calls this week. You made 297. Now, you may think that's a little ridiculous, but to be honest, I've heard it. I've seen it. I've worked for companies that are like, oh my God, you missed it by one call last week. What were you doing?
Right.
Stop. Nobody wants to be micromanaged. Nobody needs you in your ear. If it's a truly a good employee, they're a professional. They know what they're doing. They've got an understanding. Now, from my perspective, a good leader is somebody who will step in, take a look at your process, see what you've been doing, and make the necessary changes to say, hey, maybe it's just your email structure, or hey, you should probably try this, trying new things to be successful. Like this, I mean, I could probably talk on this topic for a week. We can go in a million different scenarios, but at the end of the day, you have to take care of your good employees. Right now is probably the most difficult time I've seen. Like you had said, when COVID hit, people were able to work 3, 4, 5 jobs and get paid, you know, because there wasn't a whole lot going on. Now, companies are instructed not to spend money. Companies are instructed not to hire individuals through agencies because there's a fee associated and they can't afford the fees.
Right.
IT just put a band-aid on it. Oh my gosh, we need new servers. Or, you know, there's so much going on with VMware right now. It's crazy. And if you don't know, you need to go look. But it's, you need to understand what's going on. So what are you going to do? Fire everybody? And then when the world kicks back on, you're going, oh my gosh, I don't have any employees. And now what do I do? Well, no, now you've created that reputation as you're a cutthroat company.
Right.
And this day and age, people don't want to work for cutthroat companies. I don't want to be micromanaged. I am a business professional. I want to do what I need to do to be successful. A good employee will do the same. A good employee will show up every day to work. A good employee will treat that business as if it's their own. And when you have that good employee, you have to take care of them. You have to listen. You have to understand. You have to coach. You have to mentor. It drives me crazy.
If you can't tell each other, you're driven insane about this stuff.
Understand somebody's value and treat them with it. You know, employees shouldn't be stressed to go to work. Now, as salespeople, we're stressed out anyway. We're worried about our next deal closing. We're worried about finding our next deal. We're worried about doing all of these things. Well, I mean, good employees are. So if you have good employees, protect him.
So let me jump in real quick, because he's absolutely correct. Like you said, he's speaking more from an employee standpoint. Let me speak to you as the managers out there and you as the, you know, business owners. I think what Josh and I both agree with is when you enhance your communication and you have transparency with your employees, you're able to then not micromanage the good ones. You're able to trust the good ones because there's transparency there. There's constant communication. You don't necessarily have to micromanage, and you can allow them to do what they do well, and no matter what department that they're in. So what I've learned in my 10-year of business ownership is, like Josh is saying, because it's hard to find good talent in any position, in any role. But what I do is I communicate to my top talent on a daily, you know, basis through, you know, meetings, weekly meetings, through certain tools to make sure we stay up to date on what's going on in teams or whatever it may be. But then also, too, I give them transparency on where the company is, because by them having knowledge as to where we are, you know, whether we're having budget cuts or whatever it may be, you know, whether we're, you know, hitting the numbers and the marks. Once I give them that confidence to know that they know the same knowledge I have, I know they're going to go pursue, because they're a good employee. They're going to pursue the right way because I trust them and they trust me. I think a lot of times in managerial positions, you don't give the full transparency. You know what corporate, what, you know, is talking about. You know what, you know, the C-suite is stressed about, and you feel that stress. But, you know, the sales team or whoever it may be, they don't feel that. They don't know what's going on. They just know numbers, because that's the only thing you're hitting them with. So transparency and constant communication can help mitigate, you know, this whole micromanaging, like Josh is saying, which is frustrating to a good employee. Now, the bad employees are the bad employees, and you know who they are, and you know what they bring, and you know why they're bringing that. You need to manage them differently. That's why you are the manager, to manage them differently and to put things in place to where, again, if you have to let them go, that's understandable.
Yeah.
But don't project the same thing that you're seeing from a negative or a bad, well, and because y'all know some people don't want to say bad employee. I know we got to be cool, you know, but this is a podcast. We don't have to be, you know, corporate correct.
We don't have to be politically correct.
Right. So the bad employee, don't project that onto your good one, because you're merging the two, because you're going to lose that good one. And what we want to do here in this particular podcast is help you understand how to keep the good ones and how to mitigate, you know, employees trying to look for jobs while trying to do the job you need them to do. Right, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, leaders lead. That's all there is to it. Now, I get it. It's a sales organization is only as good as its sales organization, you know? So it's what they're selling. Now, if you've got a salesperson that's coming in and they're trying hard and they're just not getting where they need to be, you need to take the necessary steps to try to get them there. If you feel as a manager, you've done all that you can, you've led them, you've given them examples, you've taught them, and it's still not getting there, then I understand. Maybe it's time for a different career. Maybe it's time to make a change. But I see so many employees that are so amazing at what they do. They just needed small tweaks. They needed to work on maybe cold call techniques or communication or written communication. So most of the time, it's just small tweaks to get somebody on the right path. It's very easy to get on the wrong path. So help to lead them into getting into the right path.
Yeah,
because they don't necessarily.
Josh, like, you're so right on that. And that requires that you as a manager to take that extra responsibility to do a little bit more legwork if you see they just need a little more help? Because right now in the markets that we're in, every market, it's hard to find talent. You know, it's just hard to find, damn near, it's virtually impossible to find good talent, right? So just to find employees right now is tough. So you'd be better suited, like Josh is saying, walk them through professional development, which is our second point. Walk them through growth and development. If you see they've gone through it and they still have a few weak points, does that mean you have to work harder? Well, that's kind of why you're a salary. You know, that's kind of why you are in the position you're in. You have to do more. You have to be you have to be like a parent. Josh is a great parent because, you know, one of his kids, he might see, I need to put a little more work into this one right now. You know, they're between their 8 and 9 years of age because they just, you know, they need a little bit more. But my oldest one, they got it. So I don't have to spend as much time with them, right? They're the good employee. But the one that's struggling right now, I'm going to put more time in. Does that mean that Josh may not be able to go and stay an extra hour in the gym? Maybe so, but he understands his responsibility as a father. He understands responsibility as the man of the house and just for responsibility for the future of his children. I got to give this time. If you are a quality manager, you understand the future of your organization and the culture you're trying to build. You have to give more time to those who may be a little bit more of a weaker link.
Yeah. I mean, we use a lot of analogies, you know, Mark's very big on relationship analogies and I try to keep up, but I'm going to use the old one that my great grandma used, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force them to drink. But I don't see a lot of leaders, you know, leading their teams to the water. The ones that are going to drink are your good employees, the ones that want to make it work, the ones that want to be there, the ones that want to be successful, that they're not going to let anything stand in their way. So you're going to lead them to water. Again, there's a word, lead. Lead by example. Don't just sit in your office and you know, play on your cell phone and expect your team to be able to bring up big numbers. You need to lead your team, motivate your team. You need to be passionate about what you do. You need to help them with their word tracks and the way that they, you need to role play with them. I mean, and I'm strictly speaking from a sales perspective, but it's in anything. You've got a developer who can develop code that nobody else can. He needs to be appreciated because I promise you somebody else will appreciate him. At the end of the day, like you had said in the beginning, communication is key. You need to set expectations up front. Now, if those expectations are not being met, it's a whole different story. Right. If this employee is meeting expectations, they're doing everything. You need to value them and they need to know they're valued. No employee wants to go to work every day stressed that today might be their last day at work. And if they feel that way, that means that you're not communicating correctly because they don't necessarily know where they stand. All your employees should know where they stand. Bad employees should know. And again, I hate to use the word, but bad employees know that they're bad employees. They know they're not doing what they're supposed to do. Right. Mediocre employees, they probably have questions, but they may be afraid to ask. They may not know how to ask. They may not even know that they have a problem. That's kind of where you need to stay. Your good employees, they know what to do. They know what task is on hand. They know that they got good communication. Mm-hmm. They still might need a little bit of assistance getting over the edge, just a little bit. And that's why you're a sales leader. That's why you're a leader of anything. It doesn't matter. Your developer may need to tweak just a little bit of something, or it doesn't matter. This plays to all positions. As a leader, you must lead.
Right. And if you're absolutely correct, Jay. And if let's just say you're a manager of, you know, a small org, of, let's just say, six people. Out of your six, you have three, you know, that are the bad eggs and you have three that are good. You have to still take a look at yourself because that's still not a good number because you're the manager. It always starts from the top. You have to, like Josh said, it has to be a do as I do, not a do as I say. So you can't, like he said, you just can't say, hey, improve here, improve here, improve here. You're not willing to show them the effort. So if you're not, you know, taking part in the professional development that's being offered by your organization, if you're not reading, you know, anything on the outside of, you know, to help yourself grow and learn, if you're not showing up to work on time, and, you know, it's the little things too, right? If you're not showing up, when I say on time, you know, they say on time is late, you know, and, you know, 5 minutes, right? Like you need to be there 15, 20 minutes before. If you're not doing those things as a manager, and I'll let you have it real quick, Jay, if you're not doing those things, you cannot expect those other three that are bad on your little org to improve. Because they don't see it from even a manager. Go ahead, Jay.
Well, I was going to say, if you're not 5 minutes early or 5 minutes late, you know, that's kind of what they told us when we were kids.
Exactly.
So you're right. You're right. You have six employees. You got to take care of all six employees. In order to grow, you're not going to do it by yourself. So you have to lead. And it's, you know, if you've done everything that you need to do, you've gone in, you've worked with your sales team, you've set the proper expectations, you've communicated, your employees know where they're at. Now, personal experience, I had a pretty good team when I was at Robert Half. And I had, at one point, I had 8 people underneath me. And I had a young lady who just didn't get it. And it's because everybody's throwing stuff at her. Oh, do this, go get this done, do this. But nobody sat there and formally showed her and asked her, what is it that you don't understand about the process? I spent my entire day sitting at her desk. Let's do it together. I'll do it. You do it. We'll make notes. Now, 2 weeks later, she still didn't understand. Now, at the end of the day, I've exhausted my resources. I've done what I needed to do. I've provided the proper coaching. It just wasn't a good fit. So as a leader, I need to understand that, communicate it correctly, and either find her something that's better suited for her, or unfortunately, we had to part ways. There's lots of different scenarios, but I think it breaks down to communication and really making sure your employees feel appreciated, especially the ones that are doing everything you're asking. They're excelling. They're getting there. Let's just say an employee is, oh my gosh, they're stellar. 6 months, they've hit every benchmark. And then 7th month, nothing. Completely flatlined. We're allowed to have a bad day, bad week, bad month in sales, especially. They still need to know in that bad month that they're appreciated. Let's make some tweaks. Let's try to change some things. Maybe you got off track. Maybe we need to put you back this way or try something different. You need, as a leader, you should be able to uncover that and make changes.
I agree. Even more so, like to that example, I think that's a great example. You know, they had 6 months straight, then that 7th month, it didn't go as according to plan. At that moment, what we like to say in point number 3, you know, you need to promote, you know, well-being. At that moment, it's more so, you know, uplifting them and keeping them encouraged. They did have 6 months of success, so they know what to do. It's up to you now as a leader to, like you said, encourage and pull out again, you know, whatever it might be. And sometimes they just need to breathe. You know, sometimes it's just what it is, you know, like it's okay, especially if they've shown that they were able to, you know, produce it at a high level before. So I think, you know, we have to make sure we're covering, you know, all 3 points. Like Josh said, number 1, enhancing communication and transparency is important. You barking at people is not going to work, right? In any situation. And then, like we talked about, you know, after you talk to them, you give them transparency, you get the point number 2, you have to make sure they have professional development. You have to show them, you have to walk them through, you have to be a little bit extra about it in some of the employees, because not everybody's going to be able to get it in just 2, you know, walkthroughs virtually. You know what I'm saying? They may need 4 or 5 walkthroughs, right? But if you're willing to show up on time and be there and you do it yourself as the leader, they can see you as a do as I do, not do as I say process. And then number 3, like we just mentioned, if they had 6 consecutive months as your high performer and then they had 1 down month, you know, check on their well-being. It's very important. Yeah. Let them know that you care. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, because you don't know what they're battling outside of work. You know, what's that meme that says be nice to everyone because you don't know what battles they're fighting?
That's right.
We don't know. There's always a reason. I promise you that. There's a reason why it slipped. Understand what that reason is. But before I go on that tangent, you had talked about growth. Growth is different for everyone.
Yes.
Some employees are okay coming in and just working that job for the rest of their lives. And some employees are like me, where I'm like, how do I get to the top? And how do I get there the fastest? And how do I be number 1? And how do I beat everyone? You have to feed that. Don't hold employees down, because that's another reason why good employees look for other opportunities, is there's no place to go. I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. I don't want to be just a CP. I don't want to be a salesperson. I don't want to be a developer. I want to move up. If you don't know where your employees, what they want to do and where they want to go, you're not a leader.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. So that boils again back down to you doing the hard work, and not even the hard work. It's just really open your mouth and communicate and say, hey, you know, what do you need?
Be personable.
What do you, huh?
Be personable.
Yeah.
It's okay to like people. It's very simple.
But you know, again, what do we always say, Jay? Like, common sense is not common. What's easy is not, you know, easily delivered and done. It's just not in life. For whatever reason, we as humans will always want to take the hard route with everything. And it shouldn't really be that, you know, that complicated. But if you just open your mouth and communicate and talk to your employees and really want to be, like you said, personable and develop what we always say, relationships, develop a relationship with your team, you'll know, okay, you know, Tom is suited to move up the ladder, and that's what he wants to do. He actually wants to grow. He doesn't want to stay here, but maybe 6 months to 9 months and move up. But Justin over there is like, I'm good right where I'm at.
Okay, I'm good.
But how can I keep you great while you're good at where you're at, right? One thing I always talk to my team, my leaders, if they have a team of five people or six people underneath them, you really have eight people, because you have to manage yourself first and foremost. And you have to also manage the boss, me or whatever it might be. And then you got to manage that team underneath you. So but that means you have to be willing to do more and see bigger than just what's for face value. So self-development has to be paramount if you're a leader, like Josh said, because that's, lead him to water in his example, right? You have to lead, but if you can't lead yourself, there's no way for you to be able to lead others. It's just really not. And I would say this, we're saying this because you're like, well, you guys keep saying lead. I think a lot of times people get complacent with the fact that, and Josh, you can jump on this in a second if you want to, because they are, they've been the manager or the leader of orgs for the past 5-6 years. It's become like mundane, easy. They have, they've kind of gotten complacent. They don't look to continue to evolve. They feel like, well, the job runs itself because we have, processes in place and we have certain benchmarks, and this is what that is. But in order for you to really be a quality manager and a quality leader, you have to be able to recognize you have to invest in yourself first and foremost in order for these teams, no matter if there's turnover or not, because if there's a lot of turnover, and turnover is not necessarily a bad thing, because turnover is necessary sometimes so you can weed out the people who are not going to work for you, right? And do and work well for the organization. But if the turnover is because you're not doing your part and you have to really do some real introspection into that, because sometimes it's that fact, you know what I'm saying? You're not growing yourself, right, Jay?
Oh, yeah. People work for who they like, just like salespeople, people buy for who they like, know, and trust. It's the same thing with employees. If they're not clicking with you, if you're just, bossing them around all day and not listening to what they have to say, nobody wants to work for you. Nobody wants to be there. They're going to look for new jobs. So there's some very easy things. And you guys have to listen to what Mark is saying. Mark has been a successful owner of businesses for over 20 years. He's been at the top. He's understood that. He's hired people. He's had to fire people. He's been in those seats. I've been in the trenches. I've been the employee that's been micromanaged. I've worked for these bad companies. I've had to have conversations with my employees. So I've done a little bit, but Mark has owned companies for a long time, longer than a lot of us have been working, So with that said, you have to understand that in today's society, in today's culture, people want to be appreciated. They want to know they're valued. And I think that we take that for granted, because just even the manager, we don't know what you got going on outside of work. We don't know how stressed out you are. We don't know that you took a 50% pay cut to take that position, and now you're disgruntled and pissed off and don't want to, work with anybody. There are so many variables, but with open lines of communication and actually showing appreciation and caring about individuals, you guys can overcome almost anything and create the most powerful organizations you can think of and become one of those places to work that nobody leaves.
I totally agree. I totally agree with you, brother. You hit it right on the head. When working with the people just like Josh, if you're not reading books, at least, 2 or 3 a month, if you're not going to conferences and conventions on, self-help and development, if you're not, attending, these events, there's no way you can tell me you're a quality leader. There's no way. Because these economies, this business world that we're in, this growing time that we're in, things are moving so fast and evolving so quickly. If you're staying the same, then you're not improving, right? So there's no way you're going to be able, if you're 35 years old and you have, you have a team of say 22 year olds underneath you, and you don't understand this demographic or this age range, you're not going to be able to lead them well. If you're 30 or you're a prodigy and you're 28 years old and you're now leading, say, 40-year-olds, if you don't, again, sit down and network and read some books and, on people a little bit older, a little bit senior, you're not going to be able to lead them well. But you have to take that upon yourself in order to be able to be what we're talking about, a better leader. You have to be able to, you can't always look for the organization. If you work at, Chase, if you work at, Google, you can't just wait for them to always want to throw out their, in-house development programs for you. You have to be a go-getter yourself if you're going to be a quality leader. Go ahead, Jed. I mean, interrupt what you were going to say.
You know, what's funny is it made me think, I used to, when I was a kid, I worked at American Furniture when I was a sales guy, right? Mm-hmm. And I got promoted to sales manager. Now, I'm not lying. There was most of the sales staff had more experience in sales than I've been alive. Mm-hmm. How in the heck are you going to go tell somebody that's got 30 years of sales experience how to sell when you've only been with the company for a year? You're half their age. So you're right. But what it breaks down to is successful communication and setting an example. It's what it comes down to. You have to invest in yourself. You have to know your product. You have to know what you're doing. You have to, at the end of the day, you have to provide value. They have to see that, my gosh, this guy really has my best interest in heart. And when I do have a question, I can go to him, because even if he doesn't know the question, he finds the answer. And he listens and he gets it done.
Tell me, when you were at that stage, inquiring minds want to know, like, yeah, you were young, you were leading an older group. What did you do outside of work, though, to help you be able to address that factor? I know you had to do something.
Well, I did a lot. I do a lot of reading. I do read, and it does help, because what is a book?
Ladies and gentlemen, what's that TikTok guy who does that? Exactly my point.
What is a book? A book is an opinion. Let's be real. It's an opinion of who wrote it. Get 50 different people's opinion, and you find the commonalities in all these different opinions, and it starts to make sense. It starts to click. Then you make it your own. Then you create what works for you. And then you take it out there and you play to your strengths. My strengths have always been good at talking. I've always been good at overcoming objections. I've always been good at actually getting hard work done. So they see that. But you're right. You have to invest in yourself. You have to learn. Yeah. You have to understand what's going on. I had to know what all the fabrics were for all the different couches. I had to understand what all the vendors were and warranties. Now, when a sales guy comes to you and says, hey, what's the warranty on this? And you don't know, as their leader, you lose credibility. Right. And so I needed to make sure that, because they were going to test me, I know they were going to test me. These people have been doing it their entire lives. They know everything. They know what type of staple is on the bottom of that sofa. So you better make sure you're investing in yourself to understand the business, because if they know more than you do, they're not coming to you for nothing. And they're never going to look at you as their leader.
Right. Yeah, man. You have to know the craft that you're in true enough. And I totally agree with you. And you have to be able to read through every nook and cranny of the manual that you're representing of whatever company you're with. And I totally agree with him on that. But one thing he said that was crucial outside of that, he still read more. And he said, like you said, it's opinions. But the great thing about reading books, especially, in this day and age, you have hundreds of years of opinions, all piled into different books, right? So everybody's opinion can't be wrong necessarily. And you also, people who already have walked the path you're trying to go down. So a lot of times you're trying to reinvent the wheel that you don't necessarily have to reinvent if you're willing to go out here and search for, information that is readily available. This is why I say it's so important for you as a leader to develop yourself outside. One thing I love that Jim Rohn always to say, you work harder on yourself than you do on your job. When you work harder on yourself, you become the person you need to be in order to attract what you need to attract on the job. And that's why Josh was able to be what he was, success then. And that's why he's a success now as a quality employee, because he understands he works harder on himself outside. So by the time he shows up 10 minutes early, not the 5 minutes late, right? 5 minutes early, 5 minutes late, right? He shows up 10, 15 minutes early because he understands I'm leading this team. This team needs to see Michael Jordan in the gym, LeBron James in the gym before anybody else. There's a reason why they say that, Tom Brady on the field before, after anybody else, and we go to sports as examples because that's something that we can all see in real time. Tom Brady being the greatest quarterback of all time because, we could see his Super Bowl, right? But we also need to see, okay, he was in the gym well before his teammates. So then when he told his teammates, hey, I need you to do X, Y, Z on this field, I trust you, Tom, at 40 years old, because at 40, you were in the gym before me and I'm 28. You know what I'm saying?
So it's funny. All I can hear is all these people that hate Tom Brady in the background. And, oh, I disagree with you. Well, I get it. It's okay. It's an opinion. But let's look at results. Results are results. At the end of the day, he is who he is. So you can't be mad.
Right. And let me say this, I'm a Cleveland Browns fan. So let me just say this. I have no dog in that fight. I'm just saying, but for like you said, from the standpoint of just for face value, the production that has happened as a leader, right? Someone who is supposed to be the face and the leader of a particular situation. You know, Leo Messi, if you, you know, a soccer fan, right? You look at these guys and you say, and then women, you know, Serena, you know, on the tennis court, right? You look not to be, you know, Oprah and you know, in her craft, right? Or whatever it might be, Shonda Rhimes and you know, TV and production. These people lead by example. They're willing to do more. So therefore, when you come in underneath their organization and you sit there as an employee, it's easier at this particular point for Shonda to say, hey, I need these scripts, you know, within the next 36 hours, because you just did. They know Shonda just wrote, you know, 10 episodes or 10 shows, you know, that are on five different channels. It's five different networks, right? So it's easier for them to be able to say, okay, I can follow you as a leader. So I implore, as Josh said, we implore you, if you're going to lead someone to water, you better damn sure know how to get there, and you better be there, walk the path prior to trying to take someone else there. So therefore, you can be able to show them the process, not so much just tell them, because that doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
And I think the one important piece we've left out is be humble. Be humble.
Talk to me.
Do not be arrogant. There's a difference. When I was a sales guy, I was humble because these guys could teach me everything. They could teach me what I needed. And if I was humble enough to listen, they taught me the cool stuff. And then they accepted me as their leader because I would listen to them. They would teach me. They understood I was young and didn't know everything. And they took it upon themselves, because of how I interacted with them, to teach me, to show me, not to let me fail. These guys saved me. They taught me all the cool stuff. They made me who I was. They made me, they transformed me into the leader that I am today because I was humble enough to know I didn't know it all. Be humble, not arrogant. I think that there's a fine line with that. And I'm sorry, but myself doesn't do well with arrogance. I like humble people, because there's always somebody out there that knows more, especially in fitness. You know, I consider myself fairly good at this industry. I've been doing it for 22 years. I've worked with some of the most amazing people on the planet, such as Phil Heath.
Yes, he is.
I worked with Phil Heath before he even had his pro car. We come from the same gym. I have been truly blessed to be able to talk to these individuals and been humble enough to listen to what they say. And even though I know a lot, I don't know everything. And I still, to this day, every day, invest in myself to learn more new techniques. I watch people. There's kids at the gym doing stuff. I'm like, wow, that's bad. That's awesome. Where did you do that? How'd you learn that? And I go ask. Be humble, not arrogant.
That goes back to our episode, Josh, where we were talking about shut up and listen, right?
Yeah.
So when you're humble, you actually shut up and you actually listen. And if you're not, you know, humble, if you got an ego, well, you ain't listening. You just always, you know, barking and telling people what to do. So I agree with you. That's a good point.
Too many leaders do this and not enough using their ears.
Right. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to avoid employees searching for new jobs, your leadership has to be immaculate. It just does. Number one, I think that's we didn't really say that like that, but I'm just going to kind of wrap it up and sum it up, is that your leadership is very important. But how does that look as far as application? Like Josh was saying, enhance communication, transparency, offer professional development and growth opportunities for your employees, and promote well-being for your employees. Those are ways and tips that you can actually keep employees, the good ones, especially the good ones, and don't micromanage, right, Jay? Don't micromanage.
Yeah, absolutely. Just take people, just be appreciative. You know, just take the time to understand what they're going through and help them and be a leader. And you know what? I'll challenge you. If you feel that you're a great leader, schedule some time with us. Let me ask you some questions. Let's have a conversation. If you feel like you've could brush it up a little bit, let's have that conversation too. But I would love to challenge some of you good leaders, and let's have a conversation and let's kind of see where you're at. Now, from an organization standpoint, if you feel like, oh my gosh, we've been going through this, these sales guys or this developers, we just can't seem to keep this position. There's a reason. Call us, schedule some time. Let's ask the questions to figure out why it's happening. Give you some advice. Like I said, we've said this a million times. We don't know everything, but we have a really good perspective on as a whole. So we might be able to help you patch that and get it fixed so you can move on. So schedule some time with us. It doesn't matter if you're the owner of the organization, you're the sales leader, or you're the employee dealing with this negativity. Give us a call. Book some time.
Yeah. Like Josh said, we have a track record of years of doing this, having success. We're not just on here just to have, you know, his face and my face looking at you guys, talking to you guys. We know what we're doing. American Express, working with them, we know what we're doing. You know, the companies that we work with currently right now, they can vouch for us. So like Josh said, contact us. We're here to help. We want to help you guys get to your North Star. And there's ways to do it. Okay. And having fresh eyes and fresh take on it is very vital, especially in this day and age. All right. So anything else you want to leave them with, Jay, before we let them go?
Nope. I'm going to actually, yes, I've said this before in other podcasts. I've got one analogy that I think that it applies to every aspect of your life. And you really need to listen. Somebody told me this a long time ago, an older gentleman, and it's never left my head. Is sometimes we're standing so close to the tree, we can't see the forest.
Forest.
Now, what that means is you can't always see what's really going on. You need another perspective. So you may be just at your wit's end, and this is all you see. There's more. I promise you. In all aspects of your life, there's more, and there's another perspective, and there's another way to do it, and there's other ways of getting it done. We might be able to help you see around that tree, give some suggestions, and help you to get back on track.
Very good point. All right. And we're here to help you guys. All right. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for those of you who have subscribed and like and share everything that we do and we post. We appreciate you guys. We thank you for your support, and we're here to help. If you have any questions, you can always go to our website, higherpowertech.com, and we will get right back to you. All right. But we look forward to seeing you on the next episode. You guys take care.